This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. And there's so much to do this hour. It's going to be a wild hour. First, we're going to discuss American history, Indians, conflict with the Indians, conquest, things like that. Someone's got a good question about that. Being estranged from friends, family members over politics. Someone wants to know about work in construction. What are my future plans for all this? All that. Can the House of Representatives, or should I say, will they actually make a stance when it comes to the election? All that and so much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to do this one. Hey, history buff. You were speaking of the Indians yesterday about conquered land. How accurate is the movie Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee? Especially the heart where Sitting Bull is arguing with Colonel Miles on whose history is correct. Thanks for reading my emails. Says I can use his name. His name is Clint. Okay, well, I'm not going to discuss that movie specifically because even if you've seen that movie, and I have, you didn't just watch it like this guy very clearly did. You don't know what he's talking about. But let's discuss America and the conquest of America and the crowding out, the pushing out, the killing of Indians and the various Indian tribes. Okay, so first, before the settlers got here originally, obviously there were Native American tribes, Indian tribes all over the country, from the Pacific Northwest to the Southwest, Southeast, Northwest, middle of the country, and different tribes dominated different regions out there. The big, powerful ones. Look, I'm a dude. The big, powerful ones tend to be the ones that fascinate me the most. I'm fascinated by Iroquois and Blackfeet and Crow and the Lakota, which those are more commonly known as the Sioux, the Comanche, and the Apache. Even the Pueblos, which are kind of more peaceful southwestern tribes. Like, I like all these tribes. I find them all fascinating. And they lived, obviously, a tribal existence. And they were in constant conflict with each other, causing them oftentimes to relocate once your tribe was defeated. The Comanche ran the Apache out of Texas. This is kind of how that worked here. It was no different back then. People are people. Whether they're technologically advanced or not, people are people, and they generally think the same way. There was none of this peace, harmony, crap. That just was not, that's something that they invented to make America and Americans look extra bad. The tribes wanted better lands, better hunting lands, better grounds, better. The people are no different. Indians were no different than you are today. What do they want? Good weather, food, water. You know, these are the things people seek out. And they were no different. So the settlers get here. Now, they're Christian settlers. The country was founded by Christians. That's going to play a big part in this. So there were Christian settlers. And immediately, there are conflicts with Indian tribes. And there's a lot of coming together with Indian tribes. The relationship was complicated. But more and more people from England, really Europeans in general, but more and more people from England were figuring out, hey, this America, it's dangerous. It was very, very dangerous early on for the weather and the Indians and starvation and everything else. But at least it's free. You can come over here and be really free. You can have the hand of the king off of you. Let's try America. So we began to fill up the United States of America. Well, you're filling up a place that was already full. There were Indians who already had that as their hunting ground, that as their sacred place, that as their this or that. So what happened was, a conquest began, only because of the Christian background of the people who founded it. Oftentimes, the conquest was attempted nicely, as if there's a nice way to conquer a place. There's not a nice way. So here's, instead of me showing up at your house tonight, you answer the door, and I stick a gun in your face and I say, this house is mine now. Get out or I'll kill you. That would be one way of conquest. That's the standard way of conquest. Instead of doing it that way, I just kind of said, hey, do you mind if I rent a room, maybe one of your bedrooms? Can I sleep there for a month? And then you wake up one day and I've rearranged the living room furniture. And then you go to your pantry in the kitchen and you find that all your food has been thrown out and I've replaced it with my food. And I just slowly but surely crowd you out of a home. Of course, anytime you try to push back on this, I meet you with hostility. And so eventually you find yourself out of your home. We tried to do it that way. And you should know this about the conquest of America. It was always a source of controversy with Americans. Americans were always divided on this from the earliest days. You can read about this. Americans didn't know how to handle it. You had Americans that said, these people are godless savages. We have to bring them to God. We have Americans who said, these people are godless savages. We should take their land because they're godless savages. We had Americans who thought, no, we should simply live side by side with these people. Let's minister to these people. No, we shouldn't crowd anyone. Americans were always all over the map on this, always divided. But the thing was, it was inevitable. Didn't matter the religious background. It didn't matter what it was. If I'm sitting next to you, we'll put it this way. I'm sitting next to you. Let's say we have a 12-hour flight. We're flying overseas. We're going somewhere across the ocean. And you're beside me, and there's one armrest in the middle, okay? And you're tiny. You're weaker. I'm 6'8". I'm 230. You're just a little munchkin. Doesn't matter how nice of a guy I am. I'll make sure your peanuts don't drop. I'll try not to step on you when I have to go pee, but it's just kind of human nature that armrest is going to end up being mine. You really can't do anything about it. Human beings are not going to exist beside fertile land, beside resources and wealth, and not take it if they have the ability to take it. Conquest, as terrible and deadly and anything you can say about it's probably true. It is the nature of man, all man. Every color, every religion, every time in history, mankind conquers areas he's able to conquer. And so we've had these two different divisions today in this country, and they're both, to be honest with you, completely wrong. You have the scumbag, America-hating communists who tell kids that we're just a genocidal country. And of course, all this should be returned back to the peace-loving Indians who didn't believe in owning property. You have that kind of idiocy. You hear it all over the place. But on the right, you hear something equally as absurd of, no, we didn't conquer it. We had treaties and stuff like, no. Most of the time, the Indian tribes didn't even understand the treaties. And we constantly treated the Indian tribes as if they were a monolithic thing run by some sort of a king. But even within, I mentioned the Lakota, the Sioux, even within the Sioux, there were divisions all over the place. And just because you were a big, powerful chief in this tribe didn't mean you had even the tiniest amount of authority with the Sioux tribe that was 50 miles away. They might have nothing to do with you at all. And we'd sign a treaty with that guy and we'd go back and we'd say, hey, looks like the Sioux are pacified. And then you turn around the next day and a group of Sioux raiders come and kill some people, steal some cattle, and then you are offended. You just broke the treaty. And that's how it worked. And it was just never going to work that way in perpetuity. How about that word, Chris? What, Chris? I read that word this morning. No, I knew I was going to use it on the show. As soon as I read it, I thought, man, that's a word that makes people sound smart. And so anyway, it was never going to last that way without end. I know I'm a bizarre right winger in this, and that I'm not angry at my countrymen for conquering the lands, because the lands are all conquered. And at the same time, I do feel sympathy for Indian tribes, but that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. If you are, and that's a great lesson for us Look, this lesson still applies today. If you are a weaker power, a less technologically advanced power, you are simply on the menu for somebody who's bigger and stronger unless you get yourself bigger and stronger. And you can whine about that all day long and complain about that. And I get it. I don't want the world to work that way. But that's how the world friggin' works. And when it comes to guys like Sitting Bull, you know what? I'm up against the clock here. I'll finish up my thought about Sitting Bull and the Chiefs and the Indian tribes and things like that, because they were divided as well on how to deal with this. I'll finish up my thoughts on that in a moment. Before I get to that, I want to talk to you about something the Indian tribes didn't have. Maybe this is what doomed them. They didn't have rough greens, right? So imagine what, Chris? Imagine you're an Indian and you have a dog and he's wonderful. In fact, the dogs used to work. They used to be work dogs and protectors. Only your dog keeps dying so early. What an advantage it would have been if the dogs had an all-natural nutritional supplement like rough greens that would help them live longer and live healthier. Think about how expensive a trip to the Indian vet used to be. Rough greens could have saved you some money there too. Pour rough greens on your dog's food. All natural nutritional supplement. When you open the bag, you'll notice, wow, this powder is green because it's alive, full of vitamins, minerals, probiotics, everything your dog needs. Call them. Free jumpstart trial bags at 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We're going to get to being estranged from your woke relatives and things like that. I just want to finish up this thought on the Indian tribes and the conquest of America. And I brought up the divisions and how divided Americans were at the time. How do we handle this? Do we take everything? Do we take nothing? How do we handle this whole thing? But there's an alternate side to that too, and that's the Indian tribes. And if you ever do any reading about the various Indian tribes, you'll notice this. They were constantly divided themselves on how to handle these Americans, on how to handle these white European settlers. It's not as if, again, we always speak about people, modern day, past, we speak about things as if it's universal. Oh, this is what white people do. This is what black people do. This is what Jews do. That's what Christians do. It's what these people do. But nothing's universal. It's not. The tribes, even within the tribes, they didn't know. There were Sitting Bull types who thought, these people are going to take everything. And he ended up, obviously, he looks like an oracle now. The Sitting Bull types were telling people very early on, these people are going to take everything if we don't band together and fight them. We have to band together, all of us, and fight them. But then there were so many types, so many chief types who didn't want that kind of slaughter, who didn't think they could win. And honestly, they had a point too. And they said, no, we need to trade with them. Let's make peace with them. And then even within those tribes, there are divisions there about how that was supposed to be handled. Do we make peace? No, let's not be. And one chief would say, no, we're making peace. And he would show up to make peace. At the same time, some angry young men from his tribe would go slaughter a settler family and blow up the peace. They could never, ever come together. And that's understandable too. People will point back at the Indian tribes and they'll kind of put them down and say, why didn't they just band together? Well, you're asking people who've killed each other for a long time to all of a sudden just come together? Why was it so easy for the United States Army to find scouts, Indian scouts, who could help them find the Indian tribes who were hard to find, like the Apaches? The Apaches are famous, really cool tribe. Even though they loved a lot of torture, really cool tribe. They were famous for being able to just disappear into the hills. They write stories about it, and some of it sounds unbelievable, but it's written down in many books that they'll just disappear pretty much in front of your eyes, meaning, hey, turn around. And you turn around for 30 seconds and you turn back around and he's gone. They would bury themselves in the sand. Like, they were really cool. Anyway, how do you find people like that? You got to find Indians who know where they're at, know how to track them down. How could you find an Indian to do that? Well, if I'm an Indian, let's say I'm a Crow. I'm just making that up. I'm a Crow Indian, and you Americans, you may have just gotten here, but the Apache, they kidnapped and tortured my wife to death. You'd like some help knowing where they are? Oh, yeah. They'll help you out. History's complicated, and more than anything, it's ugly. And we don't want it to be ugly. We want history. We want it to look like the movies where the good guys win. And we want it to look like a Marvel movie where the superheroes come in at the end and only the bad guys get hurt and everything works out in the end. That's not how life works. I was reading about this guy. I'm actually not even going to give out his name. I don't want to go into the whole history of it right now, but he was a World War II pilot in the Pacific, and he took off for this extremely brave mission, and he was a brave, talented man, brave, talented pilot. And he went and he did this mission, and he did very well. And on his way back, his plane was running out of fuel. All the planes were running out of fuel. He was desperate to get to the aircraft carrier. And here's this war hero who just did something so insanely brave. And the aircraft carrier tries to tell him, hey, don't land. You're too low. I believe he was too low. And he said, I don't have enough fuel for another pass. I land now or I'm landing in the ocean. And he landed. And because his plane wasn't where it should be, he killed two guys when he landed with his plane. Isn't that so sad? That's a real story. That's a true story. And it's sad and it's tragic, but that's how life looks so much of the time. And I don't know why, I'm not going to go off on a tangent here because I want to talk about other things, political things, but I want to remind you about your life. If you ever look down on your life or feel bad about your life, especially in this era of social media where people only put the good times on social media. If you're a dude, you're only going to put on social media that fun camping trip you had with the boys. If you're a woman and you have Facebook, you're not going to put the huge blowout fight you had with your husband earlier in the day. At least I hope you wouldn't put that. You'll put the happy family picture. Look at our perfect life having dinner together. Everyone's happy all the time. You're getting only the happiest window into other people's lives. Everyone's life is messy. Everyone's. Mine, yours, the guy across the street, your neighbor with the chiseled jaw and the pretty wife. Everyone has problems. History has problems. It's always ugly and complicated. All right. That was a long way to answer that question, but nevertheless, there it is. Now let's talk about how to handle family, friends when it comes to politics, especially now it's election season. Emotions are running high. How should you handle these things? Well, you're going to need your T levels up to have this conversation. I'll tell you that much. And that's where a male vitality stack from Chalk comes in. In fact, let's set aside the stack for a moment. You know about Chalk Lit Powder? A lot of people, they don't want to try a stack, a female stack or a male stack yet, but they want to get their foot in the door and try to figure out, hey, these natural herbal supplements, do they make any difference? Am I going to feel any difference? Allow me to introduce you to Chalk Lit Powder. Get a subscription for that. If you're just looking to start out, maybe save some money. It's packed full of vitamins and minerals. The very first thing I do when I get out of bed, the first thing I do is I go put a scoop of that in a glass, mix it up, and chug it. I start my day, vitamins and minerals immediately, and boy, what a difference. Immediately. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse, will save you a bunch of money on subscriptions, so go get a subscription to it. Chalk Lit Powder. Give it a shot. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Do not forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Don Jesse, the vest. The subject of this one is family ripped apart in woke Oregon. I've just heard that I've been disinvited from my family Thanksgiving and Christmas celebrations this year because I refuse to affirm the teenage daughter of my cousin's identity as a boy. Honestly, I'm happy to keep my daughters away from that crap, but my marriage to their mother already dissolved when I was declared racist in 2021 for saying all lives matter. My question, how much family can be destroyed before I question my anti-communist principles? My best to Aunt Peggy, says I can use his name. His name is Zach. I know that that probably hit home for a lot of people. I get a lot of these emails. Jesse, I lost my daughter. She went to the dark side. Jesse, my wife left me. Jesse, we get a lot of that. And I know that hurts. I know that hurts a lot. I know it does. Have you ever known somebody who struggled with addiction to something like gambling? You ever known a gambling addict or even a drug addict? This would work. Chris, you've known somebody. Everyone has someone who really struggled with addiction. Alcohol would work here too. My wife has a friend actually, and friend used to pour out her soul to my wife about her husband, who had a terrible gambling addiction. Absolutely ruined his family financially with his gambling addiction. And they made decent money. I think he made 70, 80 grand a year, if I remember right. He made really nice money. I mean, he made money to support a family. And it didn't matter what it was, whether it was sports, it didn't matter. He got super into the online gambling world, and he just could not help himself. And I remember one night she called my wife, and she's, you know, hey, we need, she wasn't asking us for money. We need money for food. He has completely ruined us. And we had this long talk with her, and I basically told her this. You know, I know you're married to him, but your husband is married to someone else. You're the side chick. You're the mistress. And I know that's difficult to hear. He's married to someone else. Until he chooses to get a divorce, until he gets the help he needs to get a divorce from that someone else obviously being gambling, until he gets a divorce from that someone else, he's never going to be able to be, you know, the husband you need him to be. He's married. You can only be married to one. He's married. You're the side chick. When I say communism is a religion, I don't say that for radio. These people are religious. For them, it is a belief system that goes so far beyond an election or president, Republican or Democrat or taxes or even any individual issue. For them, this is a religious endeavor. A religious endeavor. And so if you have a family member, whoever it may be, and I'm sorry this happened to you, who is breaking away from you, well, your only hope is that they choose to come out of that religious cult. Listen to this. I'm going to play it again. I played it earlier. Listen to this.
Biden did something important last night, and he transferred the machinery of the party to Kamala Harris. The Obamas renewed the magic of the movement. That's what they were transferring. It was a sacred task. They took it on well. It was like an oasis. I didn't realize I had been in a spiritual desert until they created that oasis on that stage.
A sacred task? I was in, what kind of a desert was he in? Did he say he was in a political desert? A Democrat desert? Was he in a low taxes desert, abortion desert, spending desert, foreign policy desert? What kind of desert was he in?
Biden did something important last night, and he transferred the machinery of the party to Kamala Harris. The Obamas renewed the magic of the movement. That's what they were transferring. It was a sacred task. They took it on well. It was like an oasis. I didn't realize I had been in a spiritual desert until they created that oasis on that stage.
A spiritual desert.
They are religious people. And religion, a belief in a higher power, religion will always overcome everything else if you are devout about it. If it's not a religion where other things improve when you're devout about it, then it will blow up your life. What do I mean by that? If you're a Christian, I should put it this way. If you're a Christian, let's say, sorry, Chris, if you're a Christian, I'm certainly not anything good, believe me, but so I'm not preaching to anybody, but the better Christian you are, inevitably you will be a better husband. Inevitably, you will be a better wife. You will be a better son, a better daughter. You'll be a better employee, an employer. You'll be a better citizen. By being more devout, you will be better at all those things. It's really a true test of your religious faith. The horrible thing about communism is it is so exclusive, it demands you dump on everything else in your life in service to that evil religion. So you will blow up everything in your life because that sick, demonic, destructive religion demands you blow up everything in your life. It sounds unbelievable to me as a parent. I have two boys. And look, I got home last night from work. I had skipped my workout. I was lazy that morning. The boys were doing a bunch of homework. So I decided to go upstairs and I started lifting weights upstairs. I couldn't have 5 seconds of peace because my boys kept running upstairs. Dad, did you hear about this? And dad, and it was just the best, right? My boys just telling me about their day. And I look at those boys and I think to myself, I couldn't imagine sending them off to college and in a year they hate me. They come back, their hair is dyed green and they hate me. It's unbelievable, but that is a reality. People live across this country, email after email after email. Jesse, I lost my daughter. Jesse, I lost my son in college. Why? Because the service to that sick demonic religion demands that you destroy everything else good in your life in service to it. You say you lost your family, you've been disinvited. Brother, they have a different religion, and it's incompatible with yours, no matter what yours is, even if you don't have one. If you don't worship theirs, it's incompatible. We've played this a million times this week, mocking her, and it's true. She's mock-worthy. This person is religious.
I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I'm stealing from Peter to pay Paul. And I know it's cyclical. I know, you know, you can't blame the sitting president for everything that's wrong. You can't blame past presidents for everything that's wrong. But come on, guys, we've got to do something.
Again, that was earlier this summer. I checked in with Michelle again after President Biden dropped out of the race.
How do you feel about the race now?
This is going to sound crazy, but I feel better because I don't know. I know I said on my last interview, like, don't really hear from Kamala, but I think I'm with Kamala. I've watched her. I think she has to get her feet wet. She was only the vice president, like, she, you know, but I think a woman running this country. Oh, God, I hope.
That woman can't afford groceries and she's going to go vote for Kamala because she's a woman. That's a religious person. And when you lose someone, even family, friends, to that religious person, to that religion, they're gone, right? They have a new religion, and you can still interact with them if you can, try to bring them out of it if you can. But while they're followers of that religion, it's not your mom anymore. It's not your wife anymore. It's not your cousin anymore. It's the way it goes. I know it hurts. I'm not dismissive of it. I know it. I know what broken families look like. Believe me. I know. It sucks. Whatever. Go call Done For You Real Estate. Go get a hold of Done For You Real Estate, because I was reading something today about what the Biden administration is doing, and I'll just dumb it down as much as humanly possible. They're taking every possible avenue to spend money right now, and they're spending every dime they can, just pouring as much money as they can, the student loan stuff, you name it, they're pouring as much money as they can into the public to try to ease economic pain before the election. But that is going to result in an economic disaster for whoever gets elected. It doesn't matter whether it's Trump, Dome, there's going to be some very, very tough times coming. Debt to GDP, 120%. Buy real estate. Hard assets, things you can touch and feel. Done for you real estate is so normal people can start to do that. They'll handle everything for you. Go find out what they can do at doneforyoujesse.com. We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Of course, it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We are having a blast today. You can still email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Podcast the show if you miss any part of it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Oh, predictor of perils. If voter fraud becomes so rampant and obvious, do you think the House of Representatives will have the courage to decide the election? Do I think the GOP will have the courage? Oh, I'm sorry. Stop making me laugh. Will the GOP have the courage? That's a good one. That's a good one. Look, election fraud. I'm just going to give this to you right between the eyes. Election fraud cannot be resolved, will not be resolved after an election. Either you prevent it or just the momentum of the system will certify every election after it's done. I don't care if you have video evidence. I don't care what you bring. After the election is over, it's too late. If we are not proactive, not you, not me, but the RNC, the Trump campaign, if they are not mega proactive right now in preventing voter fraud that's coming, there will be no fixing it after the fact. That is not something that's possible. And look, when it comes to courage, the GOP has none. They've had none. And they're not going to have any until we anti-communists over the years, and it will take us years until we slowly but surely crowd these people out, run them out of the party through the primary process. We have to start getting involved locally. That's where we build not only our community, that's where we build our bench of people who can eventually challenge establishment types to run until GOP establishment types are defeated. You're never going to get courage from anybody in the House or the Senate GOP. I take that bet. From anybody's not fair. You're not going to get enough courage from enough GOPers in the House or the Senate to actually get bold things done. It's just not something that's going to happen. There's no boldness there. Everyone wants to just keep the train rolling. Nobody wants to be a wrench in the system. Nobody wants to blow it up. Look, the exact same thing happened even when Trump was president. Remember the big spending bills? Big spending bill after big spending bill, and they were all just swampy and filthy. Open, naked government corruption. Every senator, every House member throwing in his special pork project to go buy votes, and every single one of them got signed into law every single time. Well, I mean, we have to fund the government. They do it every single time. I'll believe the GOP has courage the first time I ever see it. Hi, Jesse. Love the show. Listen every day. You've been saying you worked in construction most of your life. Did your father have a construction business? If yes, why did you not take it over? I was wondering all this time why you went to sell RVs. His name is Gleb. Okay, so here's how it worked for me. When I was a teenager, I worked other jobs, you know, washing dishes and washing cars and things like that. Worked at a golf course for a while, just trying to make money as a teenager. When I was, I think it was 16, my father, he didn't own a construction company. He was a foreman or a superintendent at the time. I don't remember. But I got a job working construction, but it was all in the ditch stuff. You know, shovel in your hand, you're digging, you're screwing things in, you're just doing basic construction work. And that's what I did until I joined the Marines, really. Until I joined the Marines at 19, Then I left, went and joined the Marines. When I went and joined the Marines, about that time, my folks started their own construction company. It was Don Kelly Construction. And they moved it down to Arizona. And it was, they ended up, they were doing well. You know, it was a small business, but they were doing well. When I got out of the Marines, I went back to the ditch and eventually worked my way. And I was doing, you know, project kind of like project coordination, engineering stuff, more office work than with a shovel in my hand towards the end. And it was, I mean, obviously my folks built this business up. There's a lot of blood, sweat, tears, and risk that go into that. And that was something that they had wanted. Certainly my dad had wanted me to, you know, kind of take the reins on that. Me, my sister, take the reins on that. He built it. Very understandable. I don't know how to say this. I'll just be honest with you. I always wanted to make my own way. I wanted to see if I could do it, whatever do it means. I wanted to see if I could make it without that. And I don't know. I don't regret it, right? But it's one of those things. It was a family business, and they did retire, and they did great, and the business went away. It's gone now. So they retired. Once I moved on, my sister moved on, they retired, and it's gone. But, you know, they did build this wonderful business, and I didn't continue it. I didn't. I've always wanted to make my own way and see if I could do it. And I felt like even though I would have worked hard and I would have tried to make it even bigger and things, I always felt like I would have questioned myself if I had stayed in that, because I developed a passion for politics, for the country. I started running for Congress, and I really started getting so sickened by what I saw these people doing. And I need a cause. Does that make sense? I need a mission. I feel like I have a duty, and I need a mission, not just a paycheck. I need a mission. And I wanted a mission in politics of some kind, and that's why I went that route. Now, of course, it flamed out, and I ended up flat, broke, and busted, and had to sell RVs to try to make ends meet for a long time. This is kind of the way it goes. Like, everything doesn't work out the way you want, but that's why. I don't know if that's a good explanation, but that's the truth. All right. Someone wants to know about the illegals voting in elections. How's this going to look? How's this going to work? Let's talk about that. Before we talk about that, let's talk about your pillow. You know, you think you have to spend a bunch of money on bedding in order to have great bedding, but you don't. Not as long as MyPillow is still there. As long as MyPillow is still there, you can get incredible stuff at great prices. Take advantage of that. When they have limited time deals like queen size MyPillows for only $19.98, man, that's one you want to jump on. When they have mattress toppers as low as $69.98, oh my gosh. So that's $25, $69.98, that's under $100, and you have just completely remade your sleeping experience. You can take advantage of that right now. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special Square, use the promo code Jesse, or you can call them 800-845-0544. Let's talk about illegals registering to vote, things like that. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.